Question without notice. If you were Warren Beatty, who would you have given Best Film to?
Whatever that card is.
You just made it up.
It could be anything. It could be anything, apparently.
Could have given it back to Bullworth. I still think Bullworth should win this year's. Yeah. Okay, so there, we did discuss that. I went through some other gaffes. Maybe it wasn't the worst gaffe of all time. I still maintain it maybe wasn't his fault. We heard about some driverless cars, Marto and Robin.
They were good. It's not too far away before we're going to have you can do whatever you like while you're driving.
Yeah, which is terrifying. Also, we talked about just how many beers and alcohol you should bring to a party. Whether it's appropriate to just bring like two stubbies.
Truckloads.
Yeah, like that a lot.
Plenty on the catch up. Enjoy it. We'll catch you tomorrow on Brisbane's Triple M from 5:30.
While you're listening to this Marto, Ed and Robin catch up, grab your phone, head to redsrugby.com.au and book your tickets for our St George Reds taking on the Crusaders. Saturday, March 11 at Suncorp Stadium. Speaking of Reds, here's one bloke who earned 65 caps with them. Oh, and Ed and Robin as well.
Every Tuesday, what an honour it is to be joined by our leader, our very rich Uncle Mal, PM.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Ed, Marto and Robin. Always a pleasure, and may I say, on the theme of the best of Brisbane, you guys are. Your grassroots and your juniors, and amateurs by the sound of it too. So good on you. Keep going.
I can see why you're upset. Because the polls aren't looking good, Rich Uncle Mal. 8th negative one in a row.
And I called for Tony's head after 30, so I've got 12 up my sleeve. But his destructive actions on Thursday obviously reacted badly in the polls. Yeah. So what I want to say to the Australian people, and I'll quote Toto, my favourite band here, the namesake of Dorothy's little dog from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Hold the line. Love isn't always on time. Love isn't always. Love isn't always. It's not in the way you look or the things that you say that you'll do. Hold the line. Join in if you know the word.
Oh, no, it's all good. Tell us about the Indonesian president. What did you guys get up to?
Robin, as you know, we all love going to Indonesia, and Joko Widodo and I had a terrific time together. He's a very progressive man. We talked. We spoke about all the things we have in common. Sugar, beef, barley, the Corbies, and the time that we bugged the presidential palace. Whoops.
Oh, no.
Now, we took some selfies together. Yeah. And I've got to say to you, he is a quintessential Indonesian man because he kept trying to sell me wood carvings most of the afternoon. I eventually let him massage me by the pool. And late on Sunday evening, he braided Lucy's hair.
So he's
not my favourite Indonesian president. Of course, his name's too easy to pronounce.
What is his name again?
It's Joko Jokowi Widodo. I prefer Megawati Sukarno Putri. Or Cecilio Bambang Yudhoyono.
He's our favourite.
Terima kasih to the Indonesian people.
Oh, your diction is unbelievable. What about, let's talk back into Australia, Tony Abbott. Looks like he's had his last roll of the dice.
Well, he has. He's blown it, hasn't he? He's gone off like a firecracker. He'll return to Earth as a burning stick. But I liked it when Matthias Cormann, I call him the Cormorant. He got on the front foot, the big bustling German, just running off the half-back flank there, calling Tony a destructive man and very sad and not helpful. I love it when he gets into that full-on German speak. I'm going to buy him a monocle because I call him Colonel Klink behind his back. Do you remember Hogan's Hero?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Get him a riding crop. Or, you know, Sergeant Schultz, I've seen nothing.
Riding
Don't worry, Richard, relax, everyone. It's still fun to hang poo on the Germans.
Yes, thank you, Prime Minister.
Rich Uncle Mal, thanks.
Now, before I go, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks Logan. But
sure
on you guys
does.
Out there. I know it's Labor heartland, but enjoy what you do. Enjoy your chain smoking.
Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. Always a pleasure.
Good on you. You're great guys and good constituents. Bye now.
Okay, we've got to deal with this now, the Oscars stuff up at the
awesome
critical
awesome
moment.
Best great picture. Moment.
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway are out there. They renounce La La Land. They all get up. They all have their speech about humanity and about how movies change our lives, and they're having a great time.
Yeah.
And then, there's a bit of commotion behind them. There's some people with headsets walk out clutching envelopes, and then this is said.
I'm sorry. No. There's a mistake. There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
This is not a joke.
I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
Now, Ed, I didn't watch the thing. I only saw what was on the news last night. Mm. was it Warren Beatty's fault? What happened there?
No, they've come out now. They have come out today and they've said, right, PricewaterhouseCoopers, the accounting firm, there's two people that have the full set of the winners in locked briefcases. They stand on either side of the stage. Right. And as the presenters walk out, they hand them one each. So they go, here's yours, here's yours.
Yeah.
And what's happened is that when they've done the Best Actress one, which is the one before Best Picture, then they've come out and they've still got, for some reason, they've been handed, the Warren or Faye has been handed a Best Actress one.
Oh, the previous one, though.
Yeah.
And these two people, apparently, they arrive separately to the event in case one of them gets taken out.
Yeah,
they're
like One Direction.
Taken out.
Yeah. Like a royal. Well, they're not allowed to arrive on the same plane. Yeah.
Who's going
to,
what, ISIS? Who's taking them out?
Wow.
And they memorise the winners, which is why those people came out with headsets getting really freaked out, because as soon as it was announced, they knew it was wrong.
Oh, so they are a pair of accountants, those two with the headsets, so they knew who was supposed to have won it.
They're the only two that know, apparently. Whoa. But and you could tell that it was a real genuine stuff up, because the voiceover person, they started giving us the details of La La Land. La La Land is a musical which is insufferable. Blah,
oh, was
blah.
That going on over the loudspeaker?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you've done a forensic look at this. This is deep.
It's like this. For me, it's like this Zapruder film. I just keep watching it nonstop to see if I can pick up extra things in the grassy knolls up the back.
Oh, that's great.
But it did
Any
get
ricochets?
Oh, you're weird, Ed Cavalier.
Well, it is one of the great stuff-ups.
It's the best ever.
And because you know the Oscar speeches, Robin, just drive me insane. These people that are millionaires giving each other trophies for dressing up in other people's clothes in line. I just can't stand the way that they go on and on about humanity. And this is, one of them got up and said that only actors know what it's like to...
Viola Davis.
Yeah, to live a life.
Fences, best supporting actress.
To live
actress.
A life.
Yep.
Can you imagine someone working in a roof at 45 degrees just with that on the background in the radio going, yeah, thanks, Viola. You speak for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, off to your party. So, going back through the tapes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it going to be the biggest stuff up of all time? Is it going to be the biggest live television stuff up of all time? I'll take you back through some of the classics. Who could forget this one?
Only one of you can win tonight. Oh, it's you, Kelsey.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know what to say right now. I'm feeling a bit sick about this. I'm so sorry about this. Oh, my God. This was a complete accident. I'm so sorry. It's Amanda. I'm so sorry.
Australia's Next Top Model.
When Sarah Murdoch announced the wrong model on Australia's Next Top Model.
It was a great moment. She was so upset.
You're skinny and you got a broken heart. That's awful.
Yeah, but you felt for everyone there because it's a genuine mistake, you know, whatever. Anyway, so we move on. Then there was the Miss World. Remember this Miss Universe or Miss World, where the Miss guy that hosts the game, he's a comedian, Steve Harvey, who's a...
He's brilliant. He does Family Feud over in the States.
Yeah, he's got the big job and this happens.
Miss Universe 2015 is...
Comes.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And, 10 seconds later, this happens.
Okay, folks, I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Colombia.
Oh, that's so
Miss
bad.
Universe 2015 is Philippines.
Whose fault was that? Was that his fault?
That was
him.
Yeah.
That's him. That's him.
Misread it.
Yeah. He's just gone the wrong way around. Oh. Is that the biggest live stuff up of all time? I hear what you're saying. Ooh, geez, they're big. You got the Oscars. Well, I believe that there was an even bigger live gaffe. Went straight to air. No one checked it. Mm. And this is the problem when you go live to air. That ridiculous things like this can be said live.
We've both matured, but haven't we?
We have both matured. I like to see... Now, that's what I wanted from you. Do you remember I said at the time, I don't ever want to see you waste your talent. That was my best thing. Yeah, I want to see... Are you ever coming back?
Yeah, well, I want to come back, so we'll see after the 10, see how I go.
That's funny.
Mardo and James O'Connor, 2016. Yeah. You need to mature. Yes, I've matured. Yeah. 2 days before he's in the clink for cocaine in France.
Hey, last week, you remember we were talking briefly on Tesla, but we were mainly talking power boards. But we touched on cars and said, you know, there's driverless Tesla cars and they're one of the fastest cars in the world and all the rest of it. Big story in the Brisbane Times yesterday. Self-driving cars. Okay, so many of us think, oh, that's science fiction. They are going to, it looks like, they'll become commonplace between 2020 and 2025. So in the next 5 years, they will safely move in traffic with conventional cars.
I don't know. I'm sure about that. That's a bit freaky to me.
Well, that's what Google are into it. Volvo's into it. Well, they're going. Yep. This will change the whole infrastructure. It could put taxis out of business. Could put Uber will disappear. It could change the whole world. But you know, I can't get my head around it. I don't know how or why. But one man who does know is Trevor Long, tech expert. You're over in Barcelona for the World Mobile Phone Conference, Trev. We want to talk cars, mate. What do you know?
Mate, I've been looking at this for a while, actually. I was in Detroit last year at Ford's Proving Ground, where I actually rode in the back of Ford's driverless car. And You're absolutely spot on. Ford planned to sell and actually manufacture. We're not talking about little prototypes here. Actually make driverless cars by 2021. Now, a caveat on that is they're not going to sell them to every Joe Blow. In 2021, they'll start selling these things to Uber and ride-sharing companies like that, because That's going to be the first use for these things.
Okay.
So how does it work? Do you get in and you say, take me here, and then off it goes?
Google's vision is that you get in, there's no steering wheel, there's nothing, there's just basically a bench seat you sit in, and your phone, like, if you ever sat in your house and gone, oh, what are the directions from here to there? And you look at it on your Google map. Yeah. In the future, you'll go, rightio, let's go, and you'll press a button, and when you get to your car, it'll know that that's where you want to go, and it'll take you there. And the crazy thing is, this is real. I mean, it's absolutely physically possible right now. It's really a matter of legislation catching up and also, you know, lots more testing. They're driving these things all through California just to do testing. But, you know, what happens is it'll come to Australia and certain roads, certain areas will become accepted for it. But it's going to be, honestly, a decade or more before they're just randomly driving anywhere and everywhere around our town.
Because it's all right. If it was only driverless cars on roads, they would never hit each other because they'd have GPS locators would disallow any vehicle to touch each other. But when they're in amongst driver cars, there'll still be problems, won't there?
There will be, and that's the thing. If we could just switch off all the current cars and put driverless ones on, it'd be amazing, it'd be safe, it'd be brilliant.
But it'd be like the Jetsons.
Google have only had one accident in their many years of testing, which is pretty phenomenal. But let's be clear here. There are amazing technologies in cars you can buy today which are essentially this same technology. Audi, Volvo. I drove a Volvo S90, their kind of big sedan, about 1,000 kilometres through regional New South Wales. And I reckon 80% of the time I was doing nothing but looking out the window and just keeping my hand on the wheel. It did all the steering on the freeway. It did the accelerating and braking. It did all that work.
Remember
that
bloke at work here?
On the freeway.
Trev, we got a bloke at work here yesterday claims that he's got a new Audi, a European-built Audi. Is it an Audi?
Yeah, no, it wasn't an Audi.
It has the capacity over in Germany to do it driverless, but they won't let it happen in Australia. Well, so this will happen soon legally.
Yes. So basically, you'll get on a motorway. Tesla's a good example. You can get on a motorway today and you can say to your Tesla, look, we're on the motorway. Just go 110 and keep me going. And when you just to change lanes, you just press the indicator and the car actually changes lanes for you without you doing anything.
Can you just tell me, though, as someone sitting in that space, do you feel safe without that control in your hand?
At the moment, I feel completely safe because you are required, both by law and by the computer technology in them, to have your hand on the steering wheel and still be essentially in control of the vehicle. Sitting in the back of one of these things, cruising around, is a whole other level of mental process I don't have yet. And so, no, I wouldn't feel yet safe being in one of these things until it's come a lot further than it is today.
This means you can live a lot further out of town eventually. Like, cities can spread out because you can put in hours at work the car.
Yeah, you can work. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Inside,
I mean, commuting should be work time and more productive, but you can't do that when you're sitting there just going 5Ks an hour waiting for the traffic to scroll along.
That's the time
we can turn to productive.
Our tech expert, if you want more from Trev, just go to EFTM.com.au. All of Trev's stuff is there. Good on you, Trev. Nice to speak to you.
Cheers, guys. No worries, mate, Trevor.
Now, the question is as follows. Do you feel safe with driverless cars? Are you one of these people who thinks it's going to be a great leap forward in humankind, or are you scared of them? Do you think they should be on the roads?
John from Wishart, do you trust it, or do you know more about this?
I read an interesting article, and it said basically the car will know its surroundings. So But what if it was a scenario where it was driving along and something happened and it thought maybe it was going to hit some people, or option B, it could swing the car to the left and hit a wall? What would it do? Would it, A, swing to the left and maybe kill you, or option B, swing to the right and hit the five people and kill them?
Oh, dear.
Yes. That is a very interesting ethical question, John.
And it was an interesting one. There was no answer to it. It was like someone was posing the question, what would the car do? Sacrifice you to save five, or maybe hit the five to save you?
It probably wouldn't know that they were people. It just would be an obstacle in front. Mm. So therefore, they would probably protect the person in the car.
Gosh, well, this is an interesting question, John.
It should never hit anything at all.
But sometimes there is no option.
Braking on that Dreamworld ride, you know, the Tower of Terror that goes, it's done on electromagnetics. Like, they'd have some sort of braking force which it could brake faster than anything we've ever seen before.
Oh, I see. Okay, Mike, from North Lakes, driverless cars, do you think they're going to be a good idea?
No, I don't. I actually think that they can easily be hacked, because obviously you need a computer system to be able to operate it.
Yeah.
And if someone was a skilled hacker, they could actually take control of your car and do all sorts of crazy stuff.
Now, John, Mike, you work in IT, I believe. Does this remind me of a story? Remember they were saying that there were people that were hacking into aeroplanes through the screens on the back of the seats?
Oh, I haven't heard this particular story, but it wouldn't actually surprise me.
I don't want to know that.
Because this is why pilotless planes would be a bad idea.
But, okay, Mike. So these are all the terrible things. But imagine that you wouldn't necessarily have to have drink drivers on the road ever. Because night at the pub, they could get into a driverless car.
They can currently do that. It's called a taxi or an Uber.
Well, that's true.
Andrew.
That's so true.
What do you reckon, mate? Will this take off?
Well, no. Some of us actually like driving. I actually really enjoy driving. I do it for a living. But I also enjoy driving long distances. I enjoy travelling. I enjoy getting out. And see, I don't want to be sitting in a car just doing nothing.
Yeah, that's the other point. Yeah, that's the point, isn't it? Yeah, you're right.
Can't sit on a train if you don't want to drive.
It's a bit like online dating, isn't it? Really?
In what way? Hold on, I think it's interesting, Andrew.
Here we go.
You've got the virtual, or you've got reality, you know?
I know what
you're
you
mean. You're not sitting in the car doing nothing or screening, you know, same as just scrolling through faces on Facebook or whatever.
It's true. It's hard to have a drag race with someone where you're both just pushing yes on yes, spin wheels. Yes, give him the bird, car. Yes, floor it, please.
You can't stop the future. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
He's been called a misogynistic narcissist, a monster who murdered a Gold Coast mother. Now Lionel Patea will spend life behind bars, guilty of running Tara Brown off the road and beating her to death.
Such an awful story. It led the news last night in the Gold Coast Bulletin and also the Courier Mail. It's
terrible
featured.
Human.
I mean, just nasty, horrible individual. But the thing that has incised me this morning, apart from hearing the awful details of what he actually did to her, and if you missed it, basically he ran her off the road. They had a child together, 4-year-old daughter. Mm.
They were best friends at Keebra Park High School.
Yeah, and then they started a relationship. Something went terribly wrong. He ran her off the road and then basically just beat her to death. Jesus. But the thing that happened in court yesterday, apart from the fact that he was given a life jail sentence and described as a monster, was that his legal team then handed a letter to as kind of a way of saying sorry. This was his moment to actually apologise to the family, right? And it went like this. Mm.
I'm grateful for the sentencing that he received, but it doesn't bring back Tara.
It doesn't bring back Tara.
That's the mum, but the letter is here.
In pleading guilty, Patea passed a handwritten note to the judge. His lawyer read it aloud.
I do this knowing the enormous pain I have caused Tara's family, her loved ones, and also my own family who love Tara deeply.
And I get the whole idea of an impact statement, and they often do it in legal cases. But the other part that was in this letter was this quote. It says, "The question that haunts us all." So immediately he places himself as one of the victims in this scenario.
Yep.
He says, "Is how much a tragedy like this could ever have happened? Unfortunately, I don't have the answers and can't clarify it to myself either."
So is he suggesting he was self-medicating or something?
Yeah, He was self. That's exactly what he's saying. But right. I'm sorry, if you have a moment in court to actually apologise to someone, and not that that will necessarily ever cut it, but you should be on your knees begging for forgiveness and taking full responsibility. That sort of crap, I reckon, makes it so much worse for the family.
I'll ask you a question.
What?
I pondered this with my wife last night. He gets out in 24, 25 years.
Ugh.
What happens? Does the daughter, who'll be then 29 years of age, what happens then?
I actually don't think. I think life should be life.
Yeah,
I don't think he should ever get out. I don't know. And the other interesting thing is, like, is she going to go and see him in jail?
Oh, my God, you can't.
It's just, it's gobsmacking. And I understand that in situations
why did the lawyer read it to the press?
Why didn't he read it, are you going to ask?
Why did the lawyer read it in court? Like, I would imagine he's allowed to read his own letter in court. And then why does the lawyer think to go and, I mean, that's why we know what it says, to go and read it in a public forum like that? What is the point of all that?
This is my entire thing about these kind of impact statements, right? If there is a moment where someone who has taken a life as brutally as that guy did chooses to put it in a court and public forum, then it should be the most sorry, heartfelt. Yep. But the fact it became a publicity stunt, to me, just makes this
should have
whole
been a letter to his daughter
so much worse.
It should have been a letter of apology to his daughter for robbing her of her mother.
Awful situation. If you or someone you know is in danger, you can get in touch with DV Connect, 1-800-811-811.
My sister's 50th was in Sydney across the weekend.
How'd it go?
Yeah, it was really good. It was held at my mum's house. There was about 30 to 40 people. We put on all the food and had some entertainment and stuff, but said to people, we'll put on some basic drinks, but can you BYO? So we had a couple of big eskies full of beer, wine and champagne and stuff. But this one bloke turned up with two beers. I find that odd.
Just two stubbies?
Yeah.
Not tallies?
No, just two beers. Now, I don't know, maybe I don't understand the etiquette of this kind of stuff, because when I go to a party like that, I may bring one or two bottles of, say, white wine, I'll drink what I'm going to drink, and then just leave the rest as a way of going, here, have this.
Oh, I see. So I thought you meant that you take two bottles, drink three, and you're up.
I always bring more than what I anticipate to drink, because I think that's kind of the right thing to do in case people run out, and then I can always say,
before
have
I
some
answer,
of mine.
Can I ask you, if you took two bottles and you finished one and didn't touch the second, would you take the second home?
No way.
All right.
No. I kind of feel if someone's going to put a party on and I get to be the privileged enough to be invited, then I should at least kind of contribute to the BYO
your crap
alcohol.
Wine, leave that in their fridge.
Okay, I did, you know, the $7 Wahoo from the Kenmore Tavern. Like, right. I get it, but
can
I'm
I give
just
you a tale?
Saying.
Can I give you a tale from the weekend? Because I these days I don't drink any more than two beers. I went to a 50th as well in Sydney.
Okay.
To my wife's best mate. They put on all the beer and all the wine as well as the food and everything. But I can only drink two beers, so I took a bottle of rum.
Ooh, okay. Did you leave the rum?
I tell you what, it became very popular later at night, and the rum went very quickly when people found out. So, is that rum you got there?
Yeah.
I did leave the rum, and I went round then the next day to pick something up and noticed, there was still some there. I thought maybe I should take that, but I thought, no, I'd just leave it. And that's what happens. You always got to take more than you drink. Is that the answer you're looking for?
Well, I don't know. I just found it very odd. That if you go to a barbecue and you just take the two drinks.
That bloke's got a problem.
Does he?
Though maybe he's trying to just be like, okay, I've got to drive. I'll be here for 3 hours. I'll have my two beers and then
two middies is okay.
Okay, so then you go and then you leave. Maybe that's okay.
Was he drunk at the end?
No, I'd assumed. I don't know. I don't know, but I want the etiquette about do you drink more drinks or do you bring more drinks to a party than you drink?
I love it. And what if you're not going to be drinking at the party, what do you bring?
What do you bring?
Do you have to bring something else?
What's the answer to that?
I don't go to parties. So it's
you're no help.
Not a party guy.
What am I going to do there? Yeah. So you're going to an event. You're going to a shindig and you're going to go, do you have to take more booze than you plan to drink? And if you're not drinking, do you have to take food? Do you have to take snacks? Do you have to take something else? Do you take more to a party than you are planning on consuming?
What if you've come from another party and that's all you've got left?
That's interesting.
Oh.
Does that change the... I'm throwing all these things in.
I'm at a 50th, I don't think you can walk into a 50th with a carton of beer. I think that's too much.
Why? Because they'll all die.
Is it okay to leave half a carton out in the car?
Okay, Matt.
All these questions. What's your ruling on this, Matt?
Oh, definitely, mate. You've got to take more than what you have, and usually leave some behind too.
Yeah.
As etiquette. But I knew a bloke that used to rock up with a six-pack, get pissed, and then leave with the six-pack.
I think we all know that bloke. Hey, Matt, give me a ruling on that. If you buy a carton and it's a 50th, you don't walk in with a carton, do you? Is it all right to leave a dozen out in the car?
Oh, absolutely. But if you're starting to get low, you can sneak out and grab another quick six-pack.
Yeah, but they're hot by then.
Why
wouldn't you bring in the whole carton? Because then you just share it.
Exactly.
Oh, what about, like, you'll get thirsty again on Wednesday. Matt, stay with me here, son. You'll get thirsty on Wednesday and you go, geez, I wish I didn't leave that other half of the carton at the party.
Absolutely. I'm backing you up there. Yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Okay, there we go.
All right, you and Matt.
Keep Matt's number. We're having a party together.
Rob of Ipswich, what do you reckon? Do you bring more drinks to a party than you drink?
No, I just keep well lubricated, but I just take them all in an Esty. I get rid of that whole problem with how many you want to leave there, but I just take my Esty home.
You don't leave any, Rob. Why not?
Well, why would I want to leave my Esty?
But what if you've got... So you bring an esky with your own drinks. Now, what if I don't know it's Rob's esky? I'm sure it's got your name on it, but let's say I can't see that. And I walk over to get a beer out of your esky thinking it's a party beer. What would happen?
Well, I'm sitting on it because it doubles as a stand.
Yep, security. Security,
okay,
Rob.
I
usually have my foot on mine.
Rob, are you one of those tight guys?
No, not really.
Well, how do I get a beer out of you? If I'm at a party with you, Rob, how do I get a beer out of you?
Just ask, mate. I'm happy to hand them out.
Oh, unless we're on a tight budget sometimes, Rob, aren't we? What do you mean? It's only 10:45 and I've only got 4 left. Get stuff. Get your own. Bottle shops are closed.
Okay. Felicity from Regent's Park. Do you take more booze to a party than you're planning on drinking? Or I think you might be talking about food. What do you do with food, Felicity?
Well, you take your food with you if you don't drink, which I don't drink a lot of because I usually drive my husband home.
Oh,
so I'm the non-drinker.
Yeah.
I don't mind because my husband drinks and he enjoys it. So yeah. I just take a couple of plates of food, or anything.
God,
what type of snack food? Well, you're a lovely person, Felicity. What are you taking? If I'm inviting you and your husband round to my party, what are you bringing?
Well, I'd bring savoury eggs, for instance. You know, I call them savoury eggs. Dips.
Yum.
Anything you want.
Any
fish or chips.
Good on you,
Felicity.
Savoury
eggs are so good.
Yeah, they're so good.
That is horrific.
Any LNP
are you claiming fish? Kiwi.
I'm pretty sure she is. Are you a Kiwi, Felicity?
I am indeed, and it's not Felicity, it's Leslie.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, my God. Our producers thought your name was Felicity.
Sorry.
That's not
Leslie. Sorry, Leslie. Sorry. Thanks anyway.
Cute
bye.
Person. It's cute.
Why doesn't she drink?
I don't know.
No, she said
why doesn't Ed drink? Yeah, Ed, why don't you drink?
I still have never gotten to the bottom of that. Did you have a big one? Because that's what I always reckon it happened. Something, the big one.
Look, I'm...
Turning point.
Look how interesting I am sober, Marto. Can you imagine...
He's not answering the question. Yeah. It's just one of those questions we're not allowed to ask.
No, I'll answer that. I just don't want to bore people with my own story. I'm not like the people at the Oscars. Now, this is about my own humanity. Sean is from Logan Village.
Ed!
Morning, guys, and a beautiful Robin. How are you?
Oh, thanks, nice. Sean.
Started well.
Oh, I'm like Rob. I'm an Esky man. No one takes Eskies anymore. What's wrong with the youth?
What's wrong with the youth? Not an esky between them.
Sure.
Hey,
Sean, do you remember when we used to take those foam eskies and at the end of the party you just jump on it?
Yeah, that's right. You didn't have to take it home. But look,
just checking who our listeners are.
if I went to a party where Robin was, one thing I would like to take home would be Robin.
All right.
That's a bit racy.
Thank you. Okay, Nick, stop. Ed Cavalli, why don't you drink?
We'll deal with that another day, but I tell you what, Sean, stay on the line. This is a
I was trying to deflect from me to you.
Results are in on 133353. Brisbane, you are cheap. 66% say just take your own drinks.
Scumbags.
But from what I gather, it's a lot of drinks.
Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Guys, we were talking about prison the other day, and we were taking some calls from folks who listen to us who may have who've done some time in prison, Marto. And this links to a story that you were talking about on the news last night, which may have come from what we had done about remarkably how much easier they said that it was than we were expecting. This caller told us it was essentially a holiday.
Was it enough to motivate you, though, not to re-offend?
I would say not. It's more like, I found it to be more like a holiday club, quite honestly. And like I said, once you get out of the units into residential, you've got tennis courts and you can pretty much got free rein apart from 10 a.m. till about 6 p.m.
Righto. So we heard that, and then I see Channel 9 did a little bit of a deep investigation, and this old prison guard completely confirmed what that bloke said.
I know there was offenders that actually would commit a crime just to come into jail because they got it better.
That's terrible.
All right. You know how much aircon is, how much your electricity price. If you haven't received your bill for summer, it's about to come and hit everyone. Have a listen to this.
Meals, movies, gym, air conditioning, free health and dental services. Some jails even have hair salons and barista coffee machines.
Ooh. I know.
We don't have a barista coffee machine.
I don't have a tennis court at home.
What can I get you, pal?
They've got everything.
Prisoners can play touch football. There's a gymnasium. They play volleyball. It's also exercise machines like the bikes. Every centre has got their own clinic or mini hospital.
It just kept coming. Hold on. Wonder what they eat these days, because you think about prison, you think, oh, looks horrible. That'd be one reason not to want to go there.
On Fridays, you get fish and chips. They usually get corned beef and white sauce and veggies, steak and vegetables, and they usually get a hot breakfast Sunday morning. They cater for halal, vegetarian, vegan, low-fat, no-fat, and all dietary requirements.
What do you think? What are the vegans in for?
In for a bit of trouble when all the other prisoners find out about it. Oh, dear. Aircon, 24-7, all right? And they did this thing. So they're out at Wacol. Tim Arvia doing the report. Out at Wacol and Kamira State School just down the road.
Here at Brisbane Correctional Centre, there's air conditioning 24-7 all year round.
Right.
Meanwhile, a short distance away at Kamira State School, kids as young as 5 have just sweltered in their classrooms through one of Queensland's hottest ever summers.
What happened to gruel? What happened to Port Arthur?
They want happy prisoners.
Hard tack and gruel, right? And they go up to the barista, you say, what can I get you, mate? I'll have a shankachino, thanks. Just a cappuccino with a knife in the bottom. Thanks very much.
Hey, Ed, don't you like it when the newspapers do a bit of additional reporting, like they chase up on stories that you think might just disappear? Like this Clive Palmer one, he was in court the other day. Mm-hmm. Did you see this story about, I think we were talking about it, about the million-dollar woman who lived in Kazakhstan, which is one of the satellite countries around Russia.
Well, you've actually got it wrong. It's Kyrgyzstan.
Oh, is it Kyrgyzstan?
Which is even nicer, Robin. Oh, it is just one of the beautiful spots of this world is Kyrgyzstan. Mm. So, yes, Marta, now there's a
flag
bit more
expert. You need to know one thing about Ed.
Okay.
He would know what the flag looks like for Kyrgyzstan. He is an exacta.
Yeah, because I'm really interesting. So here we go. And I'm boring and that's the type of thing I look up. But here we go. $1 million, Marto and Robin, has gone to this mystery woman that they couldn't find in Kyrgyzstan. Now she's been found. And the photograph in the newspaper yesterday, Robin, and you've got your copy in front of you.
Yeah, no, I'll show.
Let Robin, our fashion expert. Yeah. Robin, how would you describe, if this was the Oscars and she was walking the red carpet and you had to say, oh, hello, you're the woman who got $1 million from Clive Palmer and we've only just found you. Tell us, what are you wearing today?
Okay, so she's got skinny jeans on and a big belt buckle and some black boots, which is fairly standard wear, but then on her top, she just has a leather jacket and a necklace.
Unzipped leather jacket.
Yep. And you can see the hint of her breasts.
Yeah. Clive's given her $1 million. They don't sell shirts in Kyrgyzstan. They don't have Supre.
He sold her $1 million to be his mining expert in that region, so she looks for any opportunity. Is that who you'd want looking for minerals?
Topless
mineral hunting?
The miners. Yeah. Like, you don't know what the whole deal is.
I see. Undercover with the FIFOs.
Yeah, so if she rocks up looking like that, those blokes haven't seen a chick for how long?
Where are the minerals? Can I see the left
nipple? Is there anything rock hard around here, guys? Is there any hard rock around here that perhaps we could exploit?
Brilliant play, Clive. Brilliant play.
There you go. Genius.
It's still in court, and they're having a look at her. They went and found her house in Kyrgyzstan, which is described as a sort of rundown shack, which you can get for $250,000.
Did you see they knocked on her door, Ed?
Yeah, they knocked on what they're calling a compound. I love it when people have a compound. That just means you got a tall fence, Robin. Whenever they say compound, I think the Candyman might have a compound as well. But this is the bit I like. So they couldn't get a hold of her. She's out obviously trying to buy a shirt or find some woolen nipple tassels to try. It's fairly cold in Kyrgyzstan. So they've knocked on the neighbour's door in Kyrgyzstan and said, "Hello, we're from Australia. Have you ever seen a fat bloke wandering around handing out cash?" No, I haven't. Okay, well, can you tell us about the woman that lives next door? And she says, the neighbour says, well, she wasn't very friendly. I much prefer the Koreans that lived there before. They were much more friendly. They said, "Do you remember their names?" And she said, "Yeah, it was Kim Jong something. I don't remember his last name."
They wore shirts.
$1 million. $1 million she got, Robin Bailey.
$1 million
to go and help out Clive Palmer.
Marto Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Okay, so I had a neurotic mother moment yesterday. My eldest son has been really tired lately, and so he had the day off, and I wanted to race home and make sure he was eating. So I left here at about 9:30, and I was going along Legacy Way heading towards the western suburbs, when just before I came out of the tunnel after the roundabout at Toowong, at the Toowong Cemetery there.
I love the Legacy Tunnel.
Okay, there's this truck, and it's ahead of me, and yes, we were coming towards the end of the actual tunnel, but it was on fire.
The truck, this truck was the biggest news in Brisbane yesterday. It was smouldering, and then it got out of the tunnel.
Yeah, and the thing is, it pulled off, like as soon as it came out onto the Western Freeway, it pulled to the side of the road as it could and dumped a load because the smouldering was happening within, and it was all like cardboard and paper, and I have no idea why.
Took them forever to put the bugger out.
I know, and it stuffed up the traffic, and everyone would have seen that on the news last night. However,
so you're telling me you were behind that in the tunnel?
I have never been so freaked out as a driver in my life to be in a confined space. And yes, I was coming to the end of the tunnel, but I'm looking around me, and thank God the driver was really smart because he just kept, you know, he obviously must have, there was smoke everywhere.
That's scary.
Inside the tunnel.
So he came out and pulled over, and then the smoke was billowing. But you know the vents? Like it's being sucked up out of the vents. So the people outside must have been able to see that something was really wrong inside the Legacy Tunnel. I swear to you.
How far behind him were you?
Probably 5, 6, 7 cars.
Did you think about stopping, going?
I didn't know what to do. I genuinely was just going, I need to get, you know that. I'm not an anxious person.
I went in that tunnel. Can I, just for everyone else's knowledge, you know those exit, what would you have done if there was a accident and a fireball or something like that?
Well, there's exits, right? And I was looking for those, and I've seen them whenever, because I go through the Legacy Tunnel to go to the airport all the time. So I knew that there were, and I'm looking behind me, I'm thinking, where's the nearest exit? I don't have no idea where the exits go, I might add.
They go through to the other tunnel. So you close that door, you go through the exit, close that door, it locks off any problems. You're then into a little void for about 7 or 8 metres, and you open the door.
But I'm in another tunnel!
Yeah, but you can at least get away from any smoke and stuff, because that's all controlled. And then, see, that's all automatically. There's pipes running all through there. That would put out the fire. They can automatically control that from the control room.
Oh. Well, imagine if that had happened in the middle of the tunnel. Like, I just,
there was something happening at the airport tunnel about 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, there was an accident happened and everyone freaked out because there's a lot of people with claustrophobia and anxiety these days, or maybe always.
I'm not necessarily.
Tunnels freak people out.
Yeah, seriously. I genuinely was just going, what am I going to do here? And, you know, the driver did absolutely the right thing and there were police and ambulance really, really quickly.
Well played.
But also I would say that the tunnel system worked because because the smoke was being sucked out into the vents and they were going up, which is those big things that you see. But I swear to you, man, that was a full-on morning yesterday morning.
That is pretty freaky.
All right, let's find out if you were involved yesterday in that incident. Could be overseas, could be anywhere, could be right here in Brisbane. Let
some of those old tunnels are pretty spooky. Like they don't have all the exhaust and all the rest of it.
Yes.
Mm.
Like being on a tube, like being in the tube in London. That's another one that I just
stops.
It just. Oh.
Yeah. Matt is from Eden's Landing. Matty, what happened in a tunnel, buddy?
Mate, I was coming through the coming up to the, I think it's the Eastern Distributor in Sydney years ago, and airbags on the driver of my truck malfunctioned. They overinflated, which I wasn't aware of. Didn't see all the flashing signs and everything because that tunnel's 4.4. The semi's only 4.3.
Yeah.
So I'm cruising along thinking everything's good. Then as I'm sort of dropping down, the pipes they've got just before you go in the tunnel,
you hit them.
Hear this god-awful bang against the top of the roof of the truck.
Oh, my God.
And I've basically stood on the brakes.
Yeah.
Through the hazards on and, through a Hail Mary in reverse through peak hour traffic to get the hell out of there.
Oh, you didn't actually hit the tunnel ceiling?
I don't know, because all I can tell you is the seat disappeared somewhere unpleasant and I was looking up going, well, I can't see sky.
Jeez. So, see, Matt, your quick thinking there has actually averted an incident. You're like the driver from yesterday. You've actually done well then, mate.
How the hell did you back out of there?
Once I threw the hazards on and the traffic behind and everyone realised I was in trouble, the traffic cleared, so that just sort of allowed me to go
back. Wait a second,
and
this was in Sydney? Someone let you in the traffic in Sydney? My God, Matt.
Well, not just that, mate, it was peak hour and I was lucky enough there was a roadwork truck caught back in the traffic who actually cleared the lane back about 200
metres. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Little sidebar, little funny thing to that. My brother was on the phone to my mother at the time going, some idiots, some moron stuck in the tunnel. I'm trying to get to the airport.
You would have destroyed Sydney that day.
That's a skill right there, Matt. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, hi. How are you going?
Yeah, what do you got, mate?
Okay, I just want to explain something about the tunnel that you mentioned. That how the tunnel works, I'm a bus driver, and we used to drive the guys down when they built the tunnel, so we talked to them about it.
Yeah.
You know how you said you go from one side into that walkway to the other?
Yeah.
That's not how it works. What happens is the two tunnels, one either side, and there's a big walkway up the middle. So if there's a fire, you just walk into the walkway. You can go from either tunnel into the walkway where you're safe. And in the tunnel, it's in the walkway, it's high pressure air. So whenever you open the door, the air always pushes the smoke back out into the tunnel. That's how it works. And then you can walk all the way out of the tunnel through that walkway out to the end.
Hold on, I've actually been in there. I didn't see the parallel walkway. You walk from one tunnel to the other tunnel.
Well, if you do that, you walk out onto the other roadway.
Yeah, and you get taken out.
No, you can stand there. And then the traffic control comes over your radio. We've all had that, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And tells you
this
to slow down because there's an incident in the west going. Yeah, has everyone had that happen to them?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Hold on, this is a mystery. I was in there with the Lord Mayor and I didn't see any parallel tunnel.
You didn't see any parallel tunnel
in the middle?
Okay, all right. Well, it's pressured, so you can stand in there for a while as long as you like and not get burnt if you're out of the car.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and those walkways are about 50 or 60 metres up, so you don't have very far to go to get into them.
What I will say, though, is that the suction things that was taking out the fumes were working overtime. What people would have seen if they were, say, back on Milton Road, they would have seen a pile of smoke coming up through their filters have seen the actual truck on fire. So it was work. I mean, in that respect, it was working.
Very good.
You know, I just hope people tuned in and all they heard was Mutto saying, me and the mayor were in a tunnel together.
guys, if I said Peter Foster... just for anyone who doesn't know who he is, how would you guys describe him? I see on Wikipedia he calls himself an international man of mystery.
Oh, does he?
Mischief.
Mischief.
Sorry about that.
He's the diet guy, isn't he?
That's how it all started.
The tea diet guy?
Yeah, Bai Lin and Chow Lo tea. Although the long-term effects, if you saw him during his recent arrest, the long-term effects of drinking that tea is very bad for you.
I know him as, they normally on the news call him serial con man.
Yes.
So that's normally how we know him. And I think he's jumped off a pier to escape at one point. Mm. He's had a number of various scams running over the years. He was pretending to be someone else online for a while, but who hasn't done that, Mutt? I mean,
well, you look at his Wikipedia page. Has yours got Fiji arrest 2006 on it? Has yours got illegal activity in Australia 2003 to 2006? No. Has yours got Vanuatu arrest?
No.
Anyway, well, let's see. What are you up to at the moment, Pete? Because he is in custody and, well, there were developments.
The notorious Peter Foster could face more charges, with police making a breakthrough discovery. They found a fake passport and driver's licence buried in his backyard and claim Foster was going to use them to steal the identity of an Irishman and flee the country.
Ooh, right.
In his backyard.
Yeah, he looks Irish, you know.
Why? Little pipe.
Yeah.
Long red beard.
All right, so there he is. So he's got it, and you're going, how would they know to go around? Like, how do they even know stuff like that? Like, oh, well.
It was discovered in a raid of his Ewingsdale property after an anonymous source provided a tip-off and a map showing where to look. The passport found alongside an international driver's licence stashed inside a...
An anonymous source.
Hang on, hang on. But they drew a map as well?
Yes. That's a little treasure map.
That's fantastic. Go past the Bailin tea in the warehouse, past the Vanuatu handcuffs, and then start digging. That's incredible.
Do we know the gender? It would have been a jilted chick, don't you reckon?
I reckon it's his mum. He's always being a pest to his mother. I reckon she starts because she knows. $32 million, this recent one, you know, the one he's in trouble with. They reckon $32 million's gone offshore from the... He's gone off tea lately. Well, evidenced by his gut, but he's now into gambling. You know, he's been grabbing anyway. He's been,
So do you reckon, like, unlike most of us as mothers, we go, the consequence will be you'll lose your phone, and she said...
She's rang the cops and said, come over here, I've got a map for you. Yeah, all right, well, let's just remember. So Pete has been on the run. Remember that last time when he said to the cops, I'm in Fiji, and he had a copy of the Fiji Times newspaper that he'd bought at a news agency in Byron Bay, and he was sinking did he have a cocktail with an umbrella in it?
Yeah,
he's got, mocktail, and he had some palm trees behind him going, I'm in Fiji. He was in Byron Bay the whole time.
Yeah, it was great. That was right. And they gave him away because he said he was in Fiji, but that photograph, there was a guy doing fire twirling in the background, and they're like, that's Byron Bay.
All right, well, listen to this mastermind, and let's remember, the reason I'm so interested is my sister-in-law had the deli down near Sovereign Island where he used to live, okay, near where Clive Palmer lives. So she'd get a few strange rich people, la, la, la. He used to come in, I've told her this before, come in and buy his daily cup of coffee and with a $50 note go, thank you, no change. So they hated it when he got arrested. Anyway, that was a personal story. Listen to Pete, all right? We know he's a mastermind, and this is what the cops were worried about because they're going, don't let this bastard out on bail because where would he go?
We had information that he was planning to go to Norfolk Island and then somehow go on to Vietnam.
Whoa, right. So, do you know where Norfolk Island is?
Yeah, and it's an independent state.
Towards New Zealand. Do you know where Vietnam is?
Miles away.
See, that's what makes him a mastermind. Yeah. No one was expecting that.
Did they dig up a canoe as well?
best. Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Righto, we've been doing it for a while, and last year we found the best of all sorts of categories. We started off this year. Last week was the first one, the best fish and chips in Brisbane. Went to Fish Lips. Fish and chips out there at Fernie Hills, and this week we've gone to Brisbane's Best Local Sporting Club. Well, they come in thick and fast. Can you go through a few of them, Robin and Ed?
Okay, so Valley's Die Hards Rugby League Club are winning at the moment with 26%.
Oh, it's early days.
Yeah,
it is early days. Stafford Roller Sports Club, they really need to pick up their game because they're not as popular as we thought they probably weren't going to be. Now, here's the shock for me, Logan Brothers. Logan Brothers Rugby League Club, as nominated by one Corey Parker, also the birthplace, not the birthplace, but the birthplace in the league sense of young Cameron Smith and many others, only on 1% at the moment. They need to pick it up, guys.
We might have to ring Cam Smith tomorrow just to get him to appeal to the core of the club and the values that it stands for.
What about this one? Logan Rec Club, of course, the bowls club, the only one nominated, no votes.
Oh,
voteless.
That's harsh.
They're listening to ABC. Wrong demographic.
Should give a shout out to the Ace Soccer Club because we've played them often, the Albany Creek Soccer Club, 8%.
It's all right.
Now, what we have here, this becomes now. So we said we'd take the first 10 clubs to nominate. We gave you plenty of time to find out that this was going on from last Friday. Mm. Right, Monday morning you had to nominate. So we have got our 10. Now it's a marketing exercise. You've got to get your members up and going, whether your brother's rugby club, Everton Park, the Roosters rugby club, they're going all right on 21%. You get enough, you know, you muster enough support, you'll be the best sporting club in Brisbane.
I think you'll like this one, Cavalli. Do you like, if by tomorrow Logan Rec Club don't have any votes, then they're out, Pine Rivers is in.
Yeah. Now, what day will it be tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. Now, that is from memory.
Tropical night.
Pirate night is. Come on, mate. Pirate night's not just any old night.
That's only August 20th, I think.
I think it might be Hawaii. I think it might be Hawaiian night,
great.
Which is a wonderful opportunity at Pine Rivers to get down there and enjoy. When you think of Hawaii, the first place you think of is Pine Rivers Bowls.
Yeah, that's right. It's not even in the top 10, mate. If you're a member of Logan Rec or you know anyone, just vote. Just anyone. I'm going to vote actually for Logan Rec right now.
You don't count.
I can get on this computer, sure.
That is true. TripleM.com.au. Get your votes in. We are done and dusted. We'll catch you tomorrow from 5:30 here on Brisbane's New Triple M. Yep.